You remember his voice, right? The guy who was just talking, Wendy, you remember his voice.
I got to tell you, my days were not complete without Steve Bertrand last week.
Oh, that's so nice.
I'm not even kidding. I'll say the world.
Steve, during the course of a show, we get hundreds.
Alps by storm.
We get hundreds, sometimes thousands of texts from people saying, Wendy, why are you so mean towards Steve?
Yeah. No, it's the other way around.
And then you were gone a day, and Wendy said, you know who I miss is that Steve. I miss Steve Bertrand.
Very nice of you. I was texting Wendy through the trip. I would have texted you, Bill, but to what end?
I shared with him.
Did you? Yeah.
He didn't care.
I saw something. No, I pretended to care. It looked like the trip was fantastic, though.
Gosh.
You had a great time, right?
It was so much fun. The weather was great. We were, just absolutely beautiful.
Where'd you go again?
We're in Switzerland.
Mm. Guess what Steve got to see from, maybe you know this.
The
maybe
Alps?
The
Matterhorn.
The Matterhorn was
the view outside my hotel window.
Is that a big roller coaster?
It's a pretty good sized roller coaster.
So you pretend to miss me, then you just don't embrace me when I return.
Well, I can't.
Is there snow on the top of it?
Not on the Matterhorn. It's above the snow level.
Oh,
whoa.
No, there was snow. Not on top. It's a very steep. You should look it up. It's an obvious. You know it. But yeah, we're up on top of the Alps, and that's where I modeled my I'll Say the World t-shirt for the world to. So now there are people in many languages.
That aren't saying
are shrugging.
Did you see that catchphrase?
Yeah.
You just see him up there. I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Yeah, it's great group of GN listeners. One of the best groups we've had, and really one of the best trips we've had so far.
Oh, that's so nice.
I really enjoyed it.
The Matterhorn is between Switzerland and Italy. Did you see Dave Ennett while you were on the top of the Matterhorn?
Dave is, listen.
Didn't come home with
you. No, Dave is just on the other side of the Matterhorn. Really, he's in, I think, Milan today. So not too far from there. I was emailing with him earlier. By the way, our guide, Ursula Korner is her name, wonderful lady.
Yeah.
Is featured in Rick Steves' book on Switzerland.
Oh, it all ties in. He's going to be a guest with us later on the show.
It's like Kismet.
Well, it's like some Broadway musical. I don't know which one.
Oklahoma.
It's like Oklahoma.
So your guide for the hike up the Matterhorn?
We were all over Switzerland. She stayed with us. We were in Zurich. We were in Montreux, which was very cool, right on Lake Geneva.
What's an example, Steve, of something that she pointed out that the group was just thrilled to hear? Like, what's the one thing that everybody went, I didn't know that. That's valuable information.
Dinner's covered tonight.
Oh, that's excellent.
What that's kind of
handy.
Food is there?
Swiss food.
Swiss cheese.
I learned a lot. I really did. There it is.
All my
Gruyere.
Food has holes in it. What's
Gruyere
going on?
Gruyere is awesome.
We went to the village of Gruyere. I'll show you. It's a castle.
Was it melty
fortress.
And ooey and gooey?
Well, they also serve something called a raclette, where they melt the wheel of cheese on top and scrape it off and put it on vegetables.
Can I just say wheel of cheese
wheel
is the most
cheese.
Beautiful thing to hear?
That's their top game show there.
I would play it.
Yeah, but you know what? I think there was a scandal because the rules had a lot of holes in them.
He hasn't lost it.
That's excellent. Steve was at the Zanies in Switzerland while he was there.
Going back, yeah. I missed you guys, too.
Oh. Really,
but I missed Jasmine the most.
Yeah.
And who wouldn't?
Jasmine got all teary-eyed when she saw you this morning. You saw that, right?
I did.
Because I was back?
It might be allergies. It could be
but
allergies.
But he didn't bring any gifts.
No, that,
I did
that
not.
Was rude.
I didn't even think of it.
All Jasmine talked about all week was, I wonder what Steve's going to bring us. I wonder what's... And then nothing. That's all right.
I'm not a big chocolate guy. Like, they're known for their chocolate, and we went to a chocolate factory and toured and had more samples than you could imagine.
Bill's lighting up
factory.
Right now.
What about a watch? Swiss watches.
Oh, Swatch. I love those.
What about an army knife?
Yeah.
Swiss army
knife. Could have got those, $3 for a dollar.
Everybody could use those.
Yeah. I was in Zurich for one day, and I got both of those. Swatch and an army knife, I'll have you know.
Steve, is there truly an igloo village at the base of the mountain?
Well, we didn't go to the Matterhorn. We could see it.
Oh.
Could see it from his hotel room. Right. Like
right
out the window,
great.
There's the Matterhorn.
Did you wear lederhosen?
Early, then I took them off.
A little binding?
Maybe for your birthday, Wendy.
All right.
He'll bring those in.
Oh, no, I'll just wear them for you, Wendy.
All right, so this is the ultimate question. Whenever you go someplace like this, would you go back?
Oh,
if somebody said you would go back?
In an instant.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it was breathtakingly beautiful.
Even just the pictures I saw, Steve, it looks the way you think Switzerland should look.
One day we went up, we took four different trains to climb this mountain, and you go up to where they shot in Defense of Her Majesty or in Her Majesty's Government, one of the James Bond movies early on.
On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
There you go, yeah. And so we were taking four separate trains. We get up there, and we get to the top of this 360-degree sort of, you know, observation tower.
Yeah.
And we were completely clouded in.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you couldn't see. We couldn't see people on the other side of the tower.
Is it always like that, or just happened to be that way that day?
I think it was just that day, but, you know, but it still was fun. Actually, we took cable cars up there.
Oh, nice.
So it was just so many different.
A scary ride or not a scary ride?
Only when you were on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, otherwise it was fine, because it was crammed with people. You know, and it'd go by.
That sounds
fun. It'd go by one of the standards, and then start to dip a little bit. You know,
yeah,
it was fun.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Well, we did miss you very, very much. We're thrilled that you're back.
Well, thank you very much.
I
appreciate
about thrilled.
It.
Well, we're
come
happy
on, Wendy.
You're back.
Give me some love.
All right, a quick break. Not enough
so
for love to be given,
sometimes.
But just a break, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I'm a big fan of toffee.
Yeah, toffee's
like
good.
Toffee?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Wouldn't you expect it to taste like coffee? Since
the name is so similar.
And I know you're not a big coffee drinker.
Right. But it doesn't taste. Despite
like
its similarity in name, it does not. I know you mentioned this off air, but I want to mention it on air. And the reason I do this is later in the show, we have a pair of tickets to see Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band. So you and I were talking a little bit about the music scene here in town. There was a huge show over the weekend and a second chance for you to see the Rolling Stones, and yet you're apprehensive, and I don't understand it.
I know Michael Heidemann from The Morning Show went. I know Pete McMurray went.
I love it.
Did he scream, "Hey, buddy," to Mick?
Yes. Mick and he have a look that they just exchange, and they know that the "Hey, buddy" doesn't even need to be said out loud. They just know.
I would like to see Pete McMurray doing the rooster walk while saying,
yes,
"Hey, buddy."
That would
hey,
be a
buddy.
That's a show.
I am in a quandary. We went to see The Who, my boys, my husband, and I, mm-hmm. and it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like Friday night there was this big concert of the Rolling Stones at Soldier Field, mm-hmm. and they're playing again tomorrow night. And I just.
Why wouldn't you?
I can't pull the trigger because we're going on vacation this summer,
yeah.
and I need to save my money.
Oh, it's financial?
Yeah, I mean, this
all
adds up.
Do you want $20? I don't know how much tickets are to see the Rolling Stones. Probably more than
$20? Yeah. I mean, even waiting till the last minute on a Tuesday night, there's still an upwards of like $140 a ticket, and then parking, and then service charge.
That's not horrible.
It would be good just for me. Maybe I'll just go by myself.
Why is The Who so much more expensive to see than the Rolling Stones?
It's not. If you want a good seat, the Stones are probably more.
Oh.
But now, at this point, you just kind of take whatever you can get.
But when the Rolling Stones are no longer together...
I know, and this may be the last tour.
Right, right.
I can't pull the trigger.
Don't you think most musicians play the game of, even though they're not saying it out loud, this could be your last chance to see us?
Yeah, but they could die. That's what I'm worried about.
I told you, I saw The Who's farewell tour in 1983.
I know.
Right.
And how many farewell tours has Cher had?
Oh, forever. Since she started, her first tour was called the Cher Farewell Tour. Her very first tour.
Spit that out, isn't
it? Yeah, it's hard
to just to Sunny.
Yeah, right.
And we do have Bob Seger tickets to give away, and I sure love Bob Seger, so maybe I'll do the bait and switch with the kids. They like Bob Seger, too. Hey, let's go see Bob Seger at the United Center in October. Wouldn't that be fun?
Uh-huh.
But what about the Rolling Stones?
What about the Rolling Stones tomorrow night, Mom?
And I was listening to them talk about it this morning, and Mary and Mark Carman were saying, you know, oh, aren't you sick of that song? That rundown and set list is like everything you want to hear.
Hit after hit after hit after hit.
In fact, I don't even know if I need to go to the show because I would just be singing along to every song. I won't even be hearing them.
Right. Well, they were billing it as the Rolling Stones and Wendy, so it wouldn't be a shock to anybody. No, it would be... I
can't do it.
I've never seen them, and they're on my regrets list already that I've never seen
them. Well, then you go tomorrow,
when
too.
When you say, I'm the parent, you're the children, mm-hmm. you go out and get a job and pay for your tickets, mm-hmm. and then you can go one day, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but one day, too, is not, like, feasible because they're... This may be it.
Yeah. They probably don't have another 10 or 15 or 20 years
Keith Richards.
in performing.
Well, I bet you he does. I bet he's the last stone standing.
What do you mean? They can get hip replacements, knee replacements. They'll be fine.
Right.
Mick's heart.
He just had a new valve.
The Rolling Stones should be called the Replacements. If that name wasn't taken, they should have taken that name. But won't you, seriously, at some point when the announcement is made that we've either lost a Rolling Stone or they've decided can't do it anymore, you'll kick yourself. You go, I had that chance. I didn't take the chance.
But it's, you've seen them, right?
Like, I have never seen them.
Wendy, I'm like that.
With, I have never seen the Rolling Stones.
Then you've got to go.
Oh, yeah. They,
you got to go. We voted.
All right.
You have to go.
Let's get a GoFundMe page together.
Yeah, you just saw what, The Who? Didn't you just see that?
Yeah. And I'll tell you, it was an awesome show. I didn't have buyer's remorse, but it was still a lot of money to take a family of four.
This your bucket list summer. All the bands you've never seen and always wanted to see, you got to load them into one summer.
I haven't seen Bob Seger either.
Bay City Rollers are coming
in. Bay City Rollers.
Don't need to see the Bay City Rollers.
Again?
Steve and I went to see Kid and Play a year ago. It's the most fun we've ever had.
So much fun. So
yeah,
much
but
fun.
Bertrand came back with the haircut.
Yeah, he did.
Took me all summer to grow it like that.
I just can't pull the trigger.
Really?
I know.
But you're teetering. You're thinking about it at least.
I'm going back and forth. My son Dylan just got a new job and he has to work Tuesday night. So I'm like,
they'd let him off for this. That's an excused absence to see these guys.
Say that.
I think any business worth their salt. Is it a salt business?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then
How'd
they
you
would.
Know?
I saw you wearing a Morton jacket. I put two and two together. One of my best friends went to see Hugh Jackman over the weekend.
Right. Now, listen.
He shocked me.
Friday night, you had Tony Bennett at Ravinia.
Yes.
You had the Stones at Soldier Field. And you had Hugh Jackman at the
United Center.
That's right.
He beat San Antonio in overtime. Crushed him in overtime.
He and Benny the Bull.
What
was the show like?
Hugh Jackman at the beginning of the show did exactly what you did. He said, let's see, we've got the Rolling Stones we've got Tony Bennett we've got me here. He said, so all old people in Chicago should be accounted for. Which is really funny.
That is pretty funny.
He said it was amazing.
Well, like Broadway, like
he
what?
Did,
what
yeah,
did he juggle?
I don't remember him mentioning juggling, but he did a bunch of songs like from different things he's been associated with. Like, did you see that movie? What's it called? The Greatest Showman or The World's Greatest Showman
or
something?
But Greatest Show. Oh,
it was great.
The music in that show.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Really good.
Oh, and I think he does all the hits from that.
He did that. So he did a bunch of other Broadway songs from shows he's never been in, but that he admires. So I said to him, so your wife, obviously, and he goes, I didn't really want to go, but boy, was it good. Loved it. Loved every minute of it.
I wondered what he'd be doing.
No, he almost filled the United Center. That's
he does pretty
good.
Stuff for Les Mis too.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
because he was in that.
Yep.
Yeah, he can sing too.
Yeah. Oh, he's very talented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, he looks pretty good.
That's never.
There goes Mary.
Yeah.
Well, come on. You got him. You got Tony Bennett. Well, come on.
Tony Bennett looks fantastic.
Yeah, he does.
Unbelievable. 90,
what is he again?
He's in his 90s.
Yeah.
90-something.
He looks great. He sounds so good. How is that possible? How can you keep your vocal cords that strong for that long?
It's a muscle. You got to work it out.
So. There'll be plenty of time to see the Stones again.
Yep.
For your kids. You should be going tomorrow.
It's going to be like $1,500.
Don't you love
Isn't
your
it
kids?
Sold out?
There are places
you can
get tickets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll even
Eric
sit
Soderholm.
Behind. What?
Does Eric Soderholm still have his ticket service?
I don't know. What
ticket.
Did he have?
I don't remember the name of it, but he had his own
really?
Ticket. Yeah.
He was one of the first legal ticket brokers in the state.
I'll
but
even sit
view,
behind a, you know.
A what?
A pole, an obscured
It doesn't
view.
Matter what
Let's
nationality somebody is, Wendy. Come on.
Yeah, that's just terrible.
Don't single people out that
way. I mean,
way.
The Stones will play for the Poles. They'll play for anyone.
For everybody.
Go back to Switzerland, Bertrand.
They'll play for the Swiss.
Yeah, he moves around so much, you'll see him somewhere, Mick. Let's come sit in your lap, even.
Right.
I don't know what to do.
Oh, you're going to be sad when they hang it up.
They won't hang it up, though. I mean, as long as they're alive, they will continue to do this.
But at some point...
Do they have to do such a big stadium?
Yes.
Invite them over afterward. Maybe they'll do your living room.
Right.
When the whip comes down.
Tell them it's Dylan's bar mitzvah.
And you're not need, Jewish.
Well,
he doesn't need to know
it
that.
Gets him in the house, man.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, he doesn't need to know. I'm not going to tell him.
Are they on Cameo?
Yeah.
And how much is it?
Yeah.
I'll just have them record a song.
Did you read the article about... So Cameo's the service, for people who don't know, where you can get celebrities to wish you a happy birthday.
Celebrities and David Kaplan.
Wow.
Brutal. Local celebrities. So I'm kidding.
There was just an article about who charges the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember what Charlie Sheen charges. But Charlie Sheen is on there, and that's a guy that made, for several years, made over $1 million a week doing a television show. So why is he charging $300?
You can never have too much money if you're Charlie Sheen.
That's crazy, though. He made an insane amount of money for a decade, and for $300, he'll wish your aunt a happy birthday. Doesn't that seem backwards to you?
Yeah, but I'm sure he hasn't done a lot of saving, Bill.
No? You think he's burned through all that money already?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me sad.
I'm sure. Oh, Charlie Sheen is temporarily unavailable.
Oh, he is?
On Cameo.
Oh. All right.
So,
maybe because of that article. Maybe so many people said, wow, it's my kid's birthday. He loved Platoon. I have the guy from Platoon wish him a happy birthday. All right, let's do some news. We have a full show. Don't forget, later on, your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band. More details coming in a little bit. Wendy, as mentioned, we have a pair of tickets to see Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band. Everybody's saying this is one of the shows of the summer. You got to see Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band. We have a pair of tickets to give you. But it's not that simple. You kind of have to win them. So let's give a call right now at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. I have a music trivia question that I will ask. The first person to get it right wins those tickets.
What if I know it? Because I'd like to go see Bob Seger.
Well, technically, Wendy, you could win it, but you would have to run in the other room, make the phone call.
I have a phone right here. I'm ineligible.
I don't know that you will know this.
I'm excited.
I don't know that you'll know the answer to this.
This was Bob Seger's first big hit as the Bob Seger System. And he has some accompaniment on acoustic guitar and backing vocals.
Who is it? Do we know?
An eagle.
Oh, one of the Philadelphia Eagles.
No.
Ron Jaworski?
No. Glenn Frey.
Is it Glenn Frey? Mm-hmm.
The late great.
He's so good.
This was his first number one hit. This might be my favorite song.
That's a great song.
1969.
Yeah, I like this. All right, a pair of tickets to see Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band is at stake. I have a trivia question. It's a tough question, Wendy. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give this about a 33.
Honestly?
Yeah, very tough.
You've been having tough questions lately.
Yes, I know.
All right, well, I just worry because if the first person doesn't get it...
Then what?
Do they, you know, I don't trust people anymore.
Oh, you think people might cheat?
Yeah.
No cheating, everybody.
Well, I trust my listeners,
Steve
I'm
trusts.
Not worried about them.
Gene has called us. Hey, Gene, are you a Bob Seger fan?
I am. I've seen him a couple times, and I'd love to see him on
All right, good luck, Gene.
Farewell tour.
What is your answer?
The alleged farewell tour. I love it. By the way, it's a pair of tickets to Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band, one night final tour, celebrating five decades of rock and roll. It's at the United Center.
That's roughly 50 years, Wendy.
You're very good.
Yeah.
It's happening Saturday, October 19th at the United Center, and tickets went on sale Friday, so they're available now at livenation.com.
Here is the question. I'm going to warn you right now, Gene. It is not easy. So are you sitting down?
Okay.
Sit down.
I'm pacing. I'm very nervous.
You should be pacing. Pacing is better than sitting down. Here is today's question. Like I said, a very tough question. The other day on Steve Cochran's show, he had Daryl Jones on. Daryl Jones, the bass player for the Rolling Stones. And I thought to myself, okay, you don't see that every day. You don't see a performer, a musician, whose name, last name, rhymes with the band that he's in. Daryl Jones, Rolling Stones. I can only think of one other instance where this is the case, where a performer, a rock performer, has a last name that rhymes with his band. Name that person.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, my God. I love
That's
questions
tough.
Like
Bob,
this.
Bob Seger and Pete Seger? Come on.
No, Gene,
sorry,
I can't give
Gene.
It to you. Thank you, though.
Thank you.
Stop your pacing. This moves to Billy from Shanahan. Hi, Billy.
This is Tony, but that
Billy works. Hi, Tony. I'm sorry.
Tony, it'd be easier for us if you could change your name to Billy.
All right,
possible?
Billy.
All right,
are
thank
you from Shanahan?
Yes, you got that right.
We got half of it right.
At least you got that right.
All right.
You're just stalling.
Same question, Tony/Billy. The question is this. Daryl Jones is in a band called the Rolling Stones. How ironic is that? His last name rhymes with his band's name. I can only think of one other performer in a rock band who has that going on. Who is it?
Boy, I don't know.
Your blinker's on. Are you turning left or right?
I got my hazards on.
Good move. Good move. Are you in a car? It'd be weird to just put hazards on your pants, wouldn't it?
No, I would like it.
All right.
I walk so slowly, it might be really good. Handy.
Sorry, Tony Billy.
Thanks.
All right.
Oh, man.
Oh,
is it
tough.
Jay Giles and the Jay Giles Band?
No, it's
so a Freddie Jones in the Rolling Stones.
No.
Well, he's not in the Rolling Stones.
I didn't understand the question.
He's got to be in the band.
Is this Dan? Hi, Dan.
Hey, how are you guys?
Dan, we're fine. This is a tough question. I'll admit it. Daryl Jones, last name rhymes with Rolling Stones, the band that he's in. Name one other performer who has that.
You know, this is going to sound awful, but I think I'm going to know it when the answer is given out. I just can't come up with it.
Right.
I just can't do it.
It's always easier when someone else gives the answer. So true. No, sorry about that, Dan. Appreciate the call, though.
Oh, this is hard,
this
man.
Wendy, I'm telling you, I know this is difficult. This is a well-earned pair of tickets to see Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band.
Hi, is this Tony?
I give up.
Oh, wow. Dude.
Eeyore?
I have no clue.
No idea at all. All right. Well, thanks for your honesty.
Mark Knopfler and Dyer Knopfler.
You pronounced it incorrectly. Nope. Nope.
All right. We move on to Chris from McHenry. Hi, Chris. Bill's got a question for you.
Chris, oh, he fell down some stairs.
No, he hung up.
Oh.
Because this is the hardest question in the history of mankind.
Nobody's going to get this.
You don't
Someone's
so?
Going to get it.
God,
you got to think of every band you know.
Yeah.
It's killing me.
It hurts your brain, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I don't want to give up. This is something I will not ever.
No. All right. And I will say this. It's not an obscure performer. It's somebody that everybody will go, oh, yeah, I know who that is.
Mm-hmm. Greg is here. Hi, Greg.
Hi.
Greg, save the day. I've come up with a very tough trivia question. Daryl Jones is in the band The Rolling Stones. Hey, that rhymes, Jones and Stones. Give me one other instance where that has taken place.
How about Brian Jones from The Rolling Stones?
No, I can't accept that one.
Nice try.
It's kind of the same.
He was in the band 50 years ago, but okay.
Sorry, though.
He was at the top, and he was at the top of his game.
Yes. So true. So true.
Jason, it moves to you. Where are you calling from, Jason? Where's Savannah, Illinois?
Right on the Mississippi River, straight across from Chicago.
Ah. Mississippi. I'm just trying to say it's killing me.
It's too hard.
Any ideas, Jason? This is the best question you've ever asked, Bill.
Thank you, Wendy.
Yeah, Peter Criss from Kiss.
Peter Criss from Kiss is the correct answer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Jason, you are going to drive all the way in from Savannah, Illinois, on the border of the mighty Mississippi to the United Center in October to see Bob Seger and his Silver Bullet Band one-night final tour celebrating 5 decades of rock and roll.
Wow, absolutely a dream come true. That's the last guy I wanted to see. I mean, that's the last one that I haven't seen that I want to see.
Have you seen the Rolling Stones by any chance?
No, I haven't. That's good, too, but Seger was on my bucket list.
Seger was the soundtrack to my high school years and all of us that are my age.
Yep.
All right, well, Jason, hang on a second. Congratulations.
Congrats, Jason.
Oh, my God, Bill.
I wasn't sure anyone would get that, but he pulled it off. Very, very nicely done.
Peter Criss
from Kiss. Yeah.
I bet there are more. I'm going to rack my brain throughout
the whole
end of the day.
All right, see if you can come up with another one.
If I can come up with another one, you have to give me a pair of Bob Seger tickets.
It's a deal. I'll find you tickets.
If you haven't won them, you can go to livenation.com. They are available now, and I might be doing that as well.
All right. All right. We'll take a quick break.
Good job.
Thank you, Wendy. Quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Oh, it's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Wendy, if I told you there was going to be a comedy tour going back and forth across America, and it was called the Mr. and Mrs. America Comedy Tour, who would you think would be starring in that tour? You pick the guy, you pick the girl. This is true. This is about to take place, according to Fox News. You're going to see the Mr. and Mrs. America Comedy Tour starring who and who, or whom and whom, if you had better schooling than I did.
Are they celebrities?
They are both celebrities.
I don't know who's together anymore.
Well, these are two comedians that normally you wouldn't put together. I don't know that they have any history. They might know each
other,
but I don't remember. Nope. Mm-mm. The whole gist of their tour is to just kind of take the other side, the right side of what's going on in America right now. So who would that be?
Is Al Franken one of them?
It's not Al Franken. He'd be on the other side, probably. He'd be more on the Democratic side.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was one of each.
Nope. Tough call.
Scott Baio.
One of them... Scott Baio? Really? One of them has been in the news quite a bit in the last few years for either his or her opinions on things.
I just don't...
The other one has been a little bit more in the background.
Wow, you have stumped me.
The Mr. and Mrs. Comedy...
Peter Criss.
No, that was the answer. No, it can't always be Peter Criss. Roseanne Barr.
Oh, yeah, I guess
and
I
Andrew Dice Clay have announced a new comedy tour. This was yesterday. This announcement was made yesterday. They're calling it the Mr. and Mrs. America Comedy Tour. In preparation for the show, Andrew Dice Clay told Fox News that the pair were inspired by the current national obsession with political discourse in addition to the alleged policing of comedians' language.
So this is going to help? I don't think so.
I'm not positive it'll help. He said... Andrew Dice Clay said, she's a comic because she's wacky. I've known her since we were kids. When people ask about what she said, I say, she's a comic. We got to stop policing comedians. This is America. To some extent, I agree with Andrew Dice Clay about that.
I agree with you there.
Right? Previously, ABC had canceled Roseanne Barr's revival show after she referred to former Obama aide Valerie Jarrett as looking like the offspring of the Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes. That was the beginning of the end.
And she can't get a job, so this is the way to get her out there again.
True. Very true.
Reinventing yourself, Rosie.
Andrew Dice Clay is no stranger to controversy. He was banned for life by MTV for his scandalous comedy. I didn't know he was banned for life by MTV. And has been the subject of several protests. More recently, Clay and Barr performed together in March at the Laugh Factory in Las Vegas. The performance was her first since being fired by ABC.
Was it loser night?
Wow. And I have to say, and keep in mind as I say this, I have never been a fan of Andrew Dice Clay's.
Until?
He was so good in A Star Is Born as the father of Lady Gaga. I only recognized him because I knew he was in it. If I didn't know he was in it, I would have no idea that was Andrew Dice Clay. He's aged quite a bit, but he really proved, and he's acted in things before.
Vinyl, that HBO series that I loved.
Yeah.
He was a DJ. I didn't know it was him at first either.
What was there was some cop show, some like cop show that looked like it took place in the 40s. And he was on that years and years ago as his comedy career was rising. He was actually pretty good on that, too. He has acted in other things. He was in a Woody Allen movie a couple years ago he was pretty good in. But he's really, really good in A Star Is Born.
The Blacklist he was on, too. One episode. Entourage, but he played himself.
Yeah.
In The Blacklist, he didn't. He was a character. You watched that. Did you remember
I don't remember seeing him. But like I said, because he's aged so much, you almost, he doesn't have the big black hair, the pompadour-like hair that he used to have in the leather jacket. Sometimes he plays easier to play a more subtle role than he's used to on stage. But I gave him high credit for his work in Star Is Born,
because
he really surprised me at how good he was. I don't know that I would go to see him do stand-up. I don't know. This is actually a very good idea, because they're zoning in on a lot of people who feel that comedy has kind of left them in the lurch, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
Most comedians right now go to the left side of politics, so they could do very, very well with this tour. They could clean up with this. It doesn't give a start date, or it doesn't give cities yet.
I loved Roseanne. Really did.
But you have to admit, she's been her own worst enemy.
Yep. 100%. And it's got to be discouraging when your show is still kicking butt in the ratings and you're not on it anymore.
Yes.
That's got to hurt.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. So here's her chance at some sort of redemption. It's Roseanne Barr and Andrew Dice Clay, the Mr. and Mrs. America tour coming soon. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Steve Bertrand, thank you very much. Steve Bertrand Travel.
And he does, too.
Yes, he just came back from...
Switzerland.
Switzerland.
Yes.
Yeah, we just say Switzerland, but
yep.
It's a nice accent.
All right. In just a few moments, we're going to talk to Rick Steves. He has put together this climate smart commitment. Now, something we're going to talk to him about is how traveling can affect your carbon footprint. Mm-hmm. And first and foremost, I don't even know what my carbon footprint is.
Oh, all right.
Do you?
What yours is or what anybody's
what
is?
What it is.
It's a little bit.
It's there are 7 ways to reduce your carbon footprint and to save the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Unplug your devices. All electronics suck energy when they're plugged in.
All right.
Even if they're powered down, that's impossible for most of us.
I think it is.
Drive less. Choose to walk, bike, or take the bus.
That seems easy enough.
You're not going to drive. I mean,
I've been biking a lot.
To work?
No, not to work.
Oh.
It's too far. But just around town, I've been biking a lot.
Plant a garden. So I'm helping there.
You're helping there.
I still have mud under my nails from weeding this weekend. Eat local and organic. Try to eat local in-season produce, sticking to foods that are grown locally.
Mm-hmm.
Line dry your clothes.
Hmm.
I do have a clothesline.
Yeah.
Not many people do.
No.
And Orion's not going to like this, but they say stop eating or eat less meat to make your carbon footprint a little smaller.
Oh.
You don't have to become a vegetarian, but eating meat less frequently will significantly help the environment. And traveling, you don't think of how that's going to affect your carbon footprint, except maybe taking a plane.
Right.
That's the only way I can think
of. Even that, you know.
Well, big time that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can't think of anything else. And Rick Steves announced this Climate Smart Commitment. It's a program that will donate $1 million each year to fund climate smart agriculture and conservation projects in underdeveloped countries.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be talking to him any minute now. You cannot deny climate change. I know it used to be called global warming. Now it's climate change. And there are people that do deny it, and I don't understand it.
I was just going to say, you say you can't, but there are people who are adamant that it's all made up. It's all a fallacy.
How is it made up that these storms are happening fast and furious? We've had so much rain here. I feel so sorry for the farmers this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how can you deny it?
I tend to believe scientists... More times
well, that's
than not,
the craziest
more
thing
times
you've
than
ever
not, when
said.
When do you find that scientists, because of all their science knowledge, know stuff, and yet there are people who have just said point blank they're either lying or ill-informed.
Well, let's bring Rick Steves into this conversation. Rick, we're talking about climate change and people refusing to believe it's a real thing. So why don't you jump in?
How can you possibly deny it at this point? How can anyone not see it?
I would bet people who deny climate change they have no passports and they've not traveled and they're looking out for their own financial interest. Mm. I've spent and it's silly now that it's more than silly. It's embarrassing. It's evil, frankly, that people are denying climate change. I've spent 4 months a year every year for the last 30 years overseas, and people no longer debate climate change because they see it all around them. For me, my beat is Europe. I write guidebooks and take people around Europe, and I was just taking a group to a storm surge barrier the size of 2 Eiffel Towers on wheels on their side that slide together to protect Rotterdam when there's a high sea, a storm surge. I was just in Norway visiting glaciers where people used to have tours to hike on the glacier. There's no more glacier to hike on. I was just in Sweden, and it's filled with Italians escaping the heat of the summer in Italy. I was just in South England, and medieval towns, cute little cobbled lanes, now have floodgates to protect them from the high water. This is not dreaming up stuff, you know. It's a reality. There used to be summer skiing in Switzerland. That doesn't happen anymore. Now, I was just in Ethiopia last month, and there you see the impact on the poor world. And climate change affects the poorest people in the poorest countries the hardest. And there's a longer hunger season now in the developing world than there used to be. In Guatemala, in much of Guatemala, in a place called the Dry Corridor, the hunger season used to start in May. Now it starts in March. All over Ethiopia, I was talking with farmers that are trying to deal with violent and unpredictable weather, and it's cutting their yields dramatically. So climate change is here. The question is the United States going to be focused on silly politics where we protect a few constituencies to get their votes with a dishonest approach to something that is an existential threat not only to our economy, if that's what it takes, but to the whole world? Or are we going to join the family of nations and do something about it? And as a person who makes a lot of money taking people on tours to Europe, I've just decided to give myself a self-imposed carbon tax. It's only ethical. It's not heroic. It's just the right thing to do. I make a lot of money taking people to Europe. We took 30,000 people to Europe last year, and I should pay for the carbon that their flights contribute to this problem. And experts tell me that for $30 smartly invested, I can mitigate the carbon created by one American flying from Europe, from the United States to Europe and back. Okay, $30 times 30,000 travelers, rounded up, it's $1 million. We've created a portfolio where we're contributing, investing $1 million in a group of organizations that fight climate change, and they do it by promoting climate-smart agriculture in the developing world. It's an exciting program, and it gives us the peace of mind and the ethical high ground that we can take our people to Europe and back and mitigate the impact of their flight.
Look at you. That's amazing.
To me, it's just common sense. It feels great. It's a lot of money, but you know, I'm a business, and I should be paying this cost. This is a cost of our goods sold, but because of our conventional accounting methods, businesses in the United States don't have to pay for it. So most of them just laugh to the bank, and they ignore the ethics of that. But we're trying to inspire other travel businesses to get honest about this and take it out of their profits. It's, you know, if you're taking a lot of people to Europe, you can afford $30 of extra cost to enjoy all of this beauty of exploring our world. If we don't inspire people to do that, we can shame people to do that. And if nothing else, consumers can recognize it's ethical to go with the travel company that is climate smart. We call it our climate smart commitment. And for me, it's very innovative. It's designed so people can copy us. You can just take our entire program, lock, stock, and barrel, off of our website and plug it into your website. And then maybe it's even good business for corporations that really run their business on what's good for their quarterly profit statement rather than what's right for our future.
Rick, what you're doing is exemplary, but it's self-imposed. Would you suggest that they somehow figure out a way to tax this so that the money goes to that cause?
Yeah.
It should be done, right?
It should be. It's just honest. You know, I mean, it's just, I'm a Democrat. I just think that's Democratic values. I think it's good for the business in the long run,
yep,
rather than good for business in the short run. And to me, it's exciting. And it's, we've got to do something about this. I just feel myself getting kind of heated because I've just been walking with farmers across parched lands in Ethiopia, and I understand how it's brutalizing their whole communities, and I know how reasonable it is to help mitigate this. And a lot of people will just say, well, stop traveling. No, we're going to keep traveling. We don't need to become monks to fight this. Right. We just got to get smart and honest and inspire each other to boldly do this. We're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the moon landing this year. You know, if we could send a man to the moon in the 1960s, we can certainly figure out how the United States can take a leadership role, mm-hmm, in fighting climate change. That is the issue of our lifetime. But if it's all coming right down to the short-term profit statements of people who want to support a politician because it's good for their shareholders in the short term, I think we're in big trouble.
You mentioned Ethiopia and the farmers with their crops there. We're having trouble here in the United States with all this rain, where there are some farmers that haven't even planted their corn this year because they, yep, don't think it's going to come to fruition. So it is hitting in the United States as, mm-hmm, well. When are we going to open our eyes and help?
Yeah, well, that's when it hits the United States, we're more likely to open our eyes and help. That's one great thing about being a traveler, is you really have an empathy for the other 96% of humanity, and you realize you can't build a wall and wish it all to go away. You know, we're all in this together, and when you've traveled, you are connected, and that's one reason why part of our mission is to inspire Americans to venture beyond Orlando. Get out there and get to know the world. It's never been safer. It's never been more important. And frankly, it's never been more fun. So, you know, we can get smart on this. We're a great nation. We've got lots of creative energy. We've got plenty of wealth. It's just do we have the integrity and the honesty and the leadership to make this happen? And it really is a political issue, and I'm glad people are talking about it. In a way, I'm inspired by Jay Inslee, who's the governor of my state, Washington, who's kind of a one-issue presidential candidate, and Jay is in the race to get people to take climate change as a serious issue. It really, Trump is a poor choice of words, but it trumps all the other issues.
I know you're short on time, Rick. I'm just curious. Are you under the belief, because a lot of people are, that the politicians who are fighting this, saying, no, climate change doesn't exist, it's a fallacy, that they know the truth, it's just better for their business to deny it? Are you of that belief?
I'm of the belief right now that if you're denying climate change, you're either stupid or you're greedy.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're stupid. I think they're greedy.
Yep.
And you can be greedy economically and you can be greedy politically. But our society is run by the legal obligation of corporations, publicly held corporations, to profit maximize for their stockholders in the short term. That's not a good equation right there for sustainability. And we've got to have a government that can broaden the priorities beyond the short-term financial profits of publicly held corporations. I'm a privately held corporation, so I can do this.
Yeah.
If I was a publicly held corporation, I'd have my board sit me down and say, you can't do this. You
right.
just took $1 million away from our stockholders. I'm saying I'm protecting our stockholders 20 years from now because we want people to still travel. So let's do this and let's be in. Do it with integrity, let's do it in a leadership way, and let's do it in a way that inspires other travel companies to put on themselves a self-imposed carbon tax until we can elect a government that is more honest about this and makes it part of our conventional accounting practices.
He's Rick Steves, the Climate Smart Commitment. How can we help? What's the best way to help?
Well, I think you can learn more about this. We have our whole policy explained on our homepage. If you go to ricksteves.com, you can find the climate section, or ricksteves.com/climate takes you right there. But it's pretty common sense. It's time to stop debating about climate change. Learn from the rest of the world, if nothing else, that this is a serious issue and we can target it.
Thanks, Rick.
Good luck.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Happy travels.
That's Rick Steves.
He's heated up.
Yeah. There's climate change going on his collar, I think. He's getting hotter the more we talk to him. All right, a quick break and then a lot more show, so stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Pride Month here in Chicago, and I have a feel-good story that I would like to share with
Please
everyone.
Please do, Wendy.
This is based out of Texas. This comes to us from Texas. A couple has shared a heartwarming letter on social media, one that was written to them by their young neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
According to LGBTQ Nation, partners Megan Stabler and Sal Stowe wave a pride flag outside of their home.
Mm-hmm.
And they found this colorful note that was written in pencil. It was wedged beneath a rock on their front porch in Williamson County, Texas. And here's what the note said. The note's super cute. There's a little rainbow figure, and it's just a little kid writing.
Oh, yeah.
And it says, "You don't know me, but my name is," and it was blacked out.
Uh-huh.
"We're moving today, but I wanted to thank you." The note continued, "Seeing a pride flag waving so proudly outside your house every day has given me the courage to come out to my family and be more comfortable with who I am."
Very nice.
Isn't that the sweetest
very,
thing?
Very, very nice.
And
yeah.
One of the residents who has the pride flag out, Sal Stowe, says this is why visibility is so important. You never know who needs the support and to know it's okay. I hope this person is okay. Their family is being supportive, and I hope they find a community to connect that can help them through this brave process. And even though their local area is conservative, visible displays of pride are important for the younger generations to see.
True. Very, very nice.
Isn't that a sweet story?
Yeah. It seems like a lot of progress has been made in terms of acceptance. There's a long, long, long way to go, but it seems, you know, like there's finally some acceptance. You know, it took way too long.
Jasmine, will you be performing at the Pride Parade this year?
I will be.
I'd like her to promote her things, and we forgot. You had something this weekend as well, right?
We were at Pride Fest, yes, this weekend.
And you are the Spirit Brigade. What's your exact...
Yeah, we're the Chicago Spirit Brigade. We are a nonprofit in Chicago that basically what we do is we perform at different events throughout Chicago. And what we do is we have spirit buckets that we pass out. And they're basically just a donation, $5, $10, $15, $20. And we give 100% of the proceeds right back to any organization that signs up with us.
Oh, very nice.
And
very, very
basically,
nice.
You're like some really amazing cheerleaders, right?
Yes. We have cheerleaders, dancers, a drill team, all into one.
Oh, I didn't know it was all that.
Yeah.
If Bill went out to see you, could you toss him up in the air like you do with some of your other cheerleaders?
If you're willing.
I would be willing.
Okay. You would? Honest to God, you would?
Yeah. Could I be at the top? I don't know if you guys still do the human triangle, but could I be
pyramid?
At the top of the human pyramid triangle?
Pyramid, yeah.
Triangle.
Bill, if you trust us, we'll do it.
We'll see how things go.
We'll do it. Our oldest member is 45.
Oh.
And did you have to be a cheerleader prior to joining the Chicago Spirit Brigade?
Absolutely not. No, you can come in with no experience at all. We are open to everybody.
You whip people into shape so that they're better at it, obviously.
We have a whole year,
so
we got it. Oh,
that's excellent. A year? That'll take at least a year for me. Are there colorful outfits?
We have very nice outfits.
Yeah, all right. I like colorful
sparkly.
Outfits.
Yeah, have you watched any of the videos of red and white?
I can't believe how limber. She's so limber.
She works out all the time.
Obviously. You couldn't bend that way or twist that way. You haven't pulled anything, right?
No.
No?
Not this year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
very impressive
amazing.
To watch.
So they'll be out at the Pride Parade. WGN will have a float and be present, as well as pretty much everyone else in the city. That has grown. That's what makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Is that there are more and more businesses participating in it, and things have changed.
It really is such a fun event, you know. And
it's
crazy,
Bill.
Wendy, it's crazy. I mean,
it is.
You can't sell that enough. Crazy with a K. I mean, it's just nuts, crazy nuts. But every time I've been in the parade or watched the parade, it's always a good time. So go out and support it, please.
All right, and Eric Zorn will be popping by. He's here at 11:30 to do the news, and we may be a little early for news right now.
Can I just quickly share you this story? I don't know if we'll have time to get to this on the stream, but did you see the story? If this lady's not Mom of the Year, I mean, I know we're only halfway through the year, so there's still time to beat her. But this lady in Phoenix who left their child, a little kid, at a McDonald's so that she could go gambling.
Yeah, I heard about
this. Did you hear her reason for this? Her reason. Like, you hear it and you go, oh, that's so awful that a mother would do that, because it is. It's awful that a mother would leave her child at a McDonald's so that she could go up the road and gamble. But her reason for it just puts it all into perspective. A mother charged with child abuse for leaving her 9-year-old child alone at McDonald's while she gambled at the casino said that she dumped the boy off because, and I quote, he drives me crazy.
If we all dropped our kids off somewhere because they drive us crazy, or drop someone we work with off because they drive us crazy,
right.
Everybody would be solo.
There'd be nobody talking to anybody. Police say that Stacy Rupp, age 34, of Phoenix, dropped her son off at McDonald's in Peoria.
Was there
Peoria,
Playland,
Arizona.
At least?
It doesn't say. Wendy, does that make it okay?
Yes, because at least the
Playland?
Kid would have something to do.
Yeah.
Instead of just dropping him off
right.
and saying, sit at this table.
Right. Have a coffee. I'll be back in 3 hours.
Did she even give him a happy meal? I mean, come on.
An unhappy meal. before she hit the Desert Diamond Casino, an employee noticed the unsupervised child who was dirty and disheveled and called police. Workers gave the boy a coloring book, some ice cream, and cookies.
There was no Playland, it sounds like.
Doesn't seem like
there
was a Playland.
He was just sitting there?
Yeah. He waited 2 hours for his mom to return, according to a police report. Officer Brendan Shefford told Yahoo that the boy was not upset.
He's probably used to this.
If your mother's like that, you go, oh, thank you. She's finally gone. I'll just sit in the McDonald's by myself.
At least if your kid's driving you crazy and you want McDonald's to babysit for a while, find one with a Playland.
Right, right. He said, the boy said his mother dropped him off so that she could gamble, but then added, this makes it all right, Wendy, she always comes back. That's tragic.
It is tragic because that's what that kid knows. So that kid doesn't think there's
right.
anything wrong with
right.
it.
It's mommy's gambling day. I'll be at McDonald's.
See,
horrible.
I doubt my mothering ability sometimes, but stories
that's
like
why
this,
I find these stories to
you.
Make you feel better.
I appreciate it.
All right, we'll take a quick
break. No
break.
Just
oh,
news.
No break. We'll do some news, and then Eric Zorn is going to join us.
Whiskey and Zorn. Whiskey and Zorn. Sounding his own.
Whiskey and Zorn, Wendy. Legally, we can only have one in the studio at a time, and we chose
Eric. Well, then get out of here, Eric.
It goes very well together. We go very well together.
Right. It's like ketchup and mustard. How are you, Eric? Nice to see you.
Good to see you guys.
You have a bunch of things that you've written recently that we wanted to touch on today. One of them is a story that just won't seem to go away. The Jussie Smollett story.
Yeah, I am. You know, the what happened last Friday was that this judge, Tooman, Michael F. Tooman, 81-year-old judge over in Cook County, wrote a 22-page opinion about this case. It was an appeal from a retired appellate court judge, Sheila O'Brien. She said that that justice demanded that we look into the Jussie Smollett case. And just to refresh everybody out there who has somehow tried to block this story out, this, you know, several months ago, Jussie Smollett, who's an actor on TV's Empire, reported that he had been the victim of a homophobic and racist attack down here in Streeterville.
Yeah.
And it later developed that it looked quite a bit like he faked it to get attention. It's hard, not clear what. And in the as this case was going along, State Attorney Kim Fox pulled back. She recused herself kind of, sort of. She said, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm going to let my top deputy deal with it. And then it was going along, and it looked as though they were going to nail him for hiring these two brothers that he knew to stage this attack on him. And then suddenly, to everybody's surprise, the Kim Fox's office, Cook County State Attorney's office, dropped the case and said, basically, you know, we're going to take your bond money, but go ahead. You're free to go. Didn't extract an admission of wrongdoing on his part. And this caused an incredible story nationwide. Rahm Emanuel came out and blasted it. Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson blasted it. A lot of police chiefs were really angry about it. And Kim Fox never had a really good explanation as to what had happened here. And this had been sort of lingering out there. And I'd written a bunch of columns on this case saying this demands a closer look. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like a long shot that they would have a special prosecutor appointed. Kim Fox asked her attorney general to look into the handling of the case. But this ruling came down on Friday, and it was really interesting. It was very strong. I just want to read a tiny bit of it for you that I thought was really, really interesting. He says, this is Judge Tooman. he says that is perhaps the most prominent display of Jussie Smollett's acting potential. He conceived a fantasy that propelled him from the role of a sympathetic victim of a vicious homophobic attack to that of a charlatan who fomented a hoax the equal of any twisted television intrigue.
Does this judge write books? Because I would like to read more from him.
Doesn't sound like it. Well, listen to this. At the end, he's talking about the case and how it goes. And what he complained about was that Kim Fox is the state's attorney, and she stepped away from the case. She said that she had a conflict of interest, and she then appointed her top deputy to handle it. But the judge says you can't do that. If you have a conflict, you can't appoint someone to handle it for you. You have to step aside and let a special prosecutor take over. So he put it this way. He said, the ship of state ventured from its protected harbor without the guiding hand of its captain. There was no master on the bridge to guide the ship as it foundered through uncharted waters, and it ultimately lost its bearings.
That, of course, from Moby Dick.
Ahoy! I remember that paragraph. I said ahoy when I read that. It was really interesting.
Wow.
This was a very strong ruling, and it brings this case back. And I've said this before about what's gone on here, which is that Kim Fox, however she handled this case originally, she keeps compounding the offense by not coming back and explaining what happened to people. She's been hiding behind this idea that there's an inspector general looking at the case, and now she seems to be in a defensive crouch. She announced that she opposes this ruling by the judge, and she may appeal this. And I think she appeals it. It's a mistake because it keeps the story alive even longer. She's facing re-election next year. There'll be a primary in March, and I'm relatively sure she's going to be challenged in that primary.
Yeah.
And she has built up a pretty decent record over her first 3 years of being a prosecutor, of being a sort of a wise prosecutor who doesn't overcharge people, who looks at allegations of wrongful convictions, who really seems to have an interest in justice, not just convictions. And she's done a pretty good job with that. And she's sort of thrown it all away on this Jussie Smollett case, and people don't have the confidence in the justice system. One of the things that Judge Tooman said was that...
And is he worth it? I'm sorry. She threw her whole career away over this.
I don't understand what has happened here. And this is what is so baffling, is that at some point along the line, she asked the Chicago Police Department to relinquish this case to the FBI at the request of Tina Chen, this attorney who is friendly with the Smollett family, Jussie Smollett's family. So what's going on here? She is acting as an advocate for Jussie Smollett while she's a prosecutor. It's a very strange thing.
There was a rumor, too, that was going around that she was related to him.
Right. And she is appalled by that rumor, and I have no reason to suspect that it's true at all. And she said that it's a racist rumor because she's African-American and he's African-American, which is you know, the kind of thing like, oh, you're Asian, you must be related. I mean, it's a pretty stupid thing to say.
Yeah.
I think there's absolutely no evidence for it. But there is no sense anyone understands what the conflict is. Why would she be motivated to get involved in this case? And the thing is, like, it is a small crime in a way, right? It's a filing a false police report.
Sure.
But people are prosecuted for this all the time. They don't go to prison for it, but they get fined. They have to maybe do some community service.
And they're found guilty of it, aren't they?
They're found guilty. They usually plead guilty. They usually something gets worked out where they say, well, okay, you know, look, we've got you on this. If you plead guilty, we'll give you, you know, 30 hours of community service and you pay a fine and that'll be it. But you got to plead guilty for it. What happened here was he claimed that he did 2 days of volunteer work over at Operation Push and retrospectively claimed this was community service.
Yeah.
Then he forfeited a $10,000 bond that he had put up. But he didn't have to plead guilty. He immediately, after this ruling, he rushed down to the lobby of the criminal courts building, and he was, like, talking about how innocent he was. And this really stuck in people's craw.
Yeah.
And again, it's not the biggest crime in the world. I think people don't necessarily want to see him march down to Stateville.
But didn't the police spend a lot more man hours on this case because it was so high profile, because he was a celebrity? They spent a lot more time.
Well, this is what happens with these cases, which is when you have a celebrity making an allegation against, you want to make sure that your law enforcement community shows itself in its best light, that it goes out and tries to solve this case. They reportedly spent $130,000 in overtime and so on on this case, trying to solve. They put, I think someone said, like 12 people on it, but what they had to do was they had to go and find all the surveillance cameras from the area. That's how they tracked down the guy. They see him getting into a cab and they find the cab records.
They found those brothers pretty quickly.
I think they did a really good job on this. I think that's one of the reasons why the police were so upset about it, which was that in remarks prior to this surprise announcement, the state attorney's office had indicated that it was a really solid case.
Yes.
That they really had him. So they really have him on this case. They've got this guy who has embarrassed the city. Now, it's hard to say that Chicago's been embarrassed by a homophobic attack when we have so many murders here every year, but it was still something that this story was national news. It was on, you know, some of the, it was actually on network news as well as, you know, the celebrity gossip shows and so on, because he was he's an actor, a well-known actor. So the police department did. They went and they put a lot of resources in it, and they felt like they solved it, and they felt like this reflected well in the police department. To have it suddenly pulled away like that was baffling. And it also reignited the story nationally. I think if he had just pleaded guilty, this all might have gone away. But now
to some extent.
Well, no.
It still tarnished his career.
It tarnished his career, but
we would have already probably forgotten about it.
But as far as Kim Fox goes, and I did a piece a couple weeks ago where I counted the number of stories, number of times that Kim Fox's name and Jussie Smollett's name had appeared in news articles and just the Tribune, Sun-Times, and Daily Herald since the surprise exoneration. And it was up like somewhere around 90.
Wow.
And you're thinking, like, it should have been like three, right? It should have been like three stories, and then it goes away because Jussie Smollett says, yeah, I did it, I'm sorry, it's over.
Can I ask you this? The judge, Judge Tooman, has suggested that maybe some sort of a retrial or re-examining of the case take place. You can't be tried for the same crime twice.
But he wasn't tried.
There's
no double jeopardy because he never even pled.
Charges were dropped.
He never even pled. And so this case is still technically open, and he's right. Now, the Sun-Times editorial says we don't want the Smollett to be prosecuted, but I'm not sure exactly why the Sun-Times or anybody wouldn't want Smollett to be reindicted and compelled at least to make an admission in this case, because it is galling to think that what it's pretty clear. I mean, Tooman basically convicts him in this opinion because he's an actor. He made this up. It would be healthy for Chicago, for this case, for him to come out and say, yeah, I did this. I'm sorry. I was in a bad place, or for whatever reason he did it. I wanted attention.
That? I don't think we'll see that.
I think that if the special prosecutor opens it all up again, you might well see something like that happen. Can we talk about something else?
Wait. What? Not yet, Eric. Hold your horse.
What about right now?
No, we must wait.
All right.
More with Eric Zorn and his horse next. It's Bill and Wendy at WGN. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. Eric, you were saying that there was something else you needed to discuss with us. What could it be?
I'm hot. Is what you said.
Oh, you are?
I'm just talking about hot and cold.
Yeah, you're hot.
Actually, I am hot for... Hot.
Teacher?
This sounds a little weird. I did a piece on I did a piece on Friday about the Ventra card.
Yes.
Now, you guys don't take Ventra because you have your limo drivers take it.
Yeah, they...
But I'll bet your limo drivers commute with the CTA. And in 2013, the CTA rolled out the Ventra card, which was a new way of paying fares, and people hated
Problematic.
It. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
People just hated it. They called it Ventrage. People were so mad about it. I interviewed a guy who dressed up for Halloween as a Ventra card. He used Photoshop and made himself into a big Ventra card. He said that he went to parties and people were hitting him.
Oh, yeah?
And calling him names and saying, I hate you.
And the reason is what?
Well, there were a bunch of reasons people hated it. One was that it had this tendency to double charge you. You would tap the little sensor, and it did. And because of the time lag, it took like 2.5 seconds, which doesn't sound like much to register at the time. But when you're a commuter running to get a train, 2.5 seconds is an eternity. So people were like tapping the card and tapping the card and tapping the card.
Charge them every time
you tap the card. You were getting charged again because the card. It's kind of a great feature of the card, which is that you can. You can tap a friend in if you want. So, if a friend comes in from out of town, you can tap them in and then pass the card back and tap them in. But
they were charging. Wasn't reading
so
it.
That was one. The other thing was that they had made it into a credit card, and people were mad because a debit card. The debit card rates people thought were too high. So there was all this, and they had the Chicago Card Plus that was working okay. And there were just all kinds of little problems with the rollout. It was poorly handled. The CTA admits now that they really botched the rollout, and so they had.
Is it still going on?
They had the Ventra card.
Yeah.
No, the Ventra card. Well, what happened was they basically called a timeout, did a reassessment, figured out a bunch of these problems, held the vending company to a higher standard. Now it's they must register your tap at the train in half a second. And the bus, it's 0.7 seconds.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And the other thing they did was that if you tap the card twice within 2 seconds or 5 seconds, it only goes once. Their computer system realized, that was too fast. That's not a double charge. So they worked out a bunch of these problems, and they also worked out some of the reloading problems. So essentially, the reason I wrote this column was there was a story in the papers a week ago that there was this outage. For some users in Ventra in reloading their card and getting stuff on, so that the people were complaining on social media. We did a story about it. And I saw the story in the paper. And I went, wow, I haven't even thought about Ventra. And I've got a Ventra card. I take the train. But it's like one of those things that you don't even think about it anymore.
Right.
It's
automatic.
The analogy that CTA likes to make is the dial tone on the phone, is that is the goal of anyone doing some sort of a technological advance, which is that it's just there like a dial tone. You don't even think, you pick up the phone as a dial tone, you don't think, that's a miracle, there's a dial tone on the phone. When it kind of is. And when you take the train now in Chicago with a Ventra card, you tap it. You walk in, it reloads itself in the background. I don't think about it, and I reflected on the fact that this thing has become almost seamless.
Yeah, they fixed
and
it.
They just fixed it. It's one of those things that we don't complain about anymore. Now, this is one of those columns that gets people all upset because they're saying nice things about something. But I really noticed that this is one of these things. And I actually feel the same way about the iPass you have. You guys must have those.
Yeah,
your limousines have those, right?
Yeah,
your
my helicopter does.
Your helicopter, too. But that's another thing where... We did a lot of driving over the weekend, going down to Pittsburgh and back, and you just drive through the gates and it works, and you don't think
it's amazing.
And if you remember the old days of like, I don't have my wallet, and you're in this long line of people scrounging for coins, and if you remember taking the train, if you guys ever took the L with it, finding the tokens for a while, you had to keep a supply of tokens, and you'd get to the train station, you didn't have tokens, you had to go to the vending machine, or the little card that had the magnetic strip that if you folded it wrong, it wasn't working. I mean, all these things that used to be a hassle.
Yeah.
And it's just completely seamless now.
Yeah.
And I just thought that it would be nice to say something nice about something. Very off-brand for me. But
people
but
are going to think your column is ghostwritten.
Or I've gone soft.
Yes.
And one of those things I'm going to start writing about puppies. And
I hope that's not the case, Eric. I hope it's not the case.
For me.
That's Eric Zorn. You can hear him here with us on Mondays. You can read his column pretty much anytime you want. Thanks,
and
Eric.
And also on the Mincing Rascals.
And on the award-winning Mincing
Rascals.
We
won the Golden Dome or whatever it's called. Silver Dome.
Yes.
Statewide award.
Yes.
That's so cool.
Yeah, we're proud of you.
John Williams let me touch the award last week. Very
that
cool.
That was so nice.
He's such a nice man.
Yes, he's a nice man.
He's a kind man.
Yes. His retina is detached, but he is not.
It's not detached anymore.
He fixed it? He scotch taped it?
All right.
Good. Thanks,
Thank you, Eric.
Good to see you.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Don Kleppen. He's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, 720 WGN.